Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I am going to speak on killing giants this morning. Killing giants. The Holy Spirit brought this to my mind so clearly as I was praying here in the church on Friday. And it was so very, very real to me. I thought, well, Lord, I've preached on David a whole lot. And I know I've preached on this topic, or at least this incident, but I've never really got the picture that I'm getting today. The Lord gave me, began on Friday morning as I was praying here in the auditorium, praying for you, for my church family, praying for God to do a work. And a lot of times I walk around here in the silence and a lot of times in the darkness, praying, walking by the pews, knowing where you sit, knowing where some of the problems and the things that you are facing, some of the giants that you're facing. Well, I got right back over there in that corner as I'd been praying. The Holy Spirit said these words, "I am killing giants." And I said, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." I got excited. I became Pentecostal, holiness, whatever else you could say. And I run down through here. I said, "Glory, he's killing giants. He's killing giants." Then he developed this message in me. I finished it just 10 minutes before I walked in the auditorium. I don't think it's finished, but the notes that he gave me. And I want you to understand that's how real I believe what I'm saying is today. Keep in mind some things as we begin this message. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world. We have spiritual giants out there facing us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Giants there, weights, sins. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, he says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Therefore, he says, casting down imaginations. And the word imaginations there is really the arguments against your mind. Right here's the battleground. I could preach series on that. Maybe I will. But here's the battleground. It's not only the battleground, but it's also the prize. Satan is battling for the prize of your mind, and the Holy Spirit is battling for the prize of your mind. The Bible tells us, James tells us, that the Holy Spirit lusts to envy the control of our minds and our bodies, our emotions, and our will. He wants to control that so much. And Satan's fighting to control it as well. So what 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, is casting down these imaginations or these argumentative philosophies or thoughts that comes into your mind that's always against the church, against the Bible, against God, against faith. All of these thoughts that's being portrayed out of the social media and the news media, the attack today, if you hadn't noticed already, is always against the faith of people believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the opposite of what we know and what the Bible says. So there's that constant argumentative philosophies and thoughts that are being poured into our brain by what is out there. That's a giant. Don't forget that. That is a giant. What can we do, preacher? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 17, David, very much a picture of the nation of Israel himself, and he's the greatest king. He's their hero to this day. and very much a picture of us as believers. You can't help reading the Psalms and having an attachment to David because he felt like we feel. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I make no excuses. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, then I'd fly away and I'd be at rest. Don't you identify with that? All throughout the Psalms, you identify with David. You identify with him because he's real just like you. And now he's facing this giant Goliath. He didn't plan on this meeting. He didn't plan on facing a giant. But he just planned on being God's man or God's young man. Actually, a youth at this time. Some of the commentaries on this said he was an adolescent. And that's what they referred to him as. Just a youth. So age is not important. Whether older or younger. You're never too old like Moses. 80 years old, God says, okay, now you're ready to do what I've called you to do. And Moses says, Lord, I'm content. I'll dwell here. I'll keep sheep. You know, I got a good wife and got some youngins, and I'm just going to keep sheep. You know, I'm 80. It's done past for me. And God said, I'll set a bush on fire, boy, and we'll see if it's past for you. And it wasn't. So, older or younger, God says, there's no difference. You're facing giants, and the giants are there. And what are you going to do with them? They're either going to conquer you, or God will conquer them through you. Now, I want to show you some principles here I think is very important to us here. Let's read the story first, though, in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, beginning in verse number 1. Now, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. They were gathered together at Shokoth, which belongeth to Judah, and they pitched between Shokoth and Azekah in Ephephus Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So there's the war, the constant war with the Philistines and the Israelites. Saul's the king. David's not the king. He's a shepherd boy. And then verse 3, the Philistines stood on one mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, no doubt 10 feet tall, if not more. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. He had breastplate. He had a breastplate in the front. He had a breastplate actually in the back, is what this describes. He had shin guards and all of this. His spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. We don't know exactly how much that is, but it was more than a normal man would lift with one hand, with both hands. And he lifts it as a spear with one. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Bible says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. I defy the armies of Israel today. We read later on in this passage that he was actually defying the God of the armies of Israel. You see, every battle that Israel had was not only a physical battle, but it was a battle against the God of Israel. Every battle you as believers have, Job lets us in on this light, every battle that you have is really against your faith. It's against your God. It's against your Lord. The battles that Satan brings against you, the battles that sin and the enemy brings against you and against me, is the opposition directly against God, the Holy Ghost, who lives in us. Now, we read in chapter 16 where David was anointed with oil. Samuel anointed him with oil, said, "You're going to be the king over Israel." And the Bible says the Spirit of God was upon David from that time on. So David has the Holy Spirit with him. You and I are very blessed today. We have the Holy Spirit in us, who will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is in us. You have the very God that was with David is the very God that's in you today. The very God. And this enemy of Israel is an enemy of God. Notice David calls him out about it, and I'll talk about that more in verse 26 of chapter 17. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to this man that kills this Philistine?" Here's David comes just to bring some food. We all know the story, I'm sure. He comes just to bring some food to the soldiers, his brothers who's fighting in the army. He's got seven brothers. They're fighting there. David comes with food. And he says, he hears this. He overhears this Goliath get up there and mock Israel and mock the God of Israel. And he says these words, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies," now get this, "of the living God?" David knew who they were fighting against. They were fighting against a demon-possessed, Satan-possessed giant that was out to destroy the army of Israel, defeat the nation, yea, hinder the coming of the Messiah. Old Satan has filled this giant, and he is definitely one that nobody wants to go against. Saul was taller than anybody else in the kingdom, we're told. I take it from description, Saul's probably in the neighborhood of 7 feet himself. But here's a 10-foot man. Now that would put that giant pretty close to where the ceiling joins the wall right here. He couldn't, if he came in, he couldn't get in that door. He'd come in the double doors back there and would barely fit then. His hand would be as big as your stomach. He'd be such a huge, formidable man, it would scare you to death just to see him. And that's what happened to the people of Israel and the armies of Israel. Well, except for David. David had a different plan. God had a different plan. Now, let me just, let's jump over to verse 15. All right. David, of chapter 17, David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. In verse 17, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren." So here's Jesse. Jesse's a great picture of a father here for sure. Now Saul, verse 19, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David, obedient to his father," verse 20, "rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and went to the trench where the host was going forth to fight. And he shouted and shouted for the battle." And then, verse 21, "Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper," verse 22, "and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren." Now notice, do you notice David? You know, here the battle's going on. And David runs right into the army, salutes his brethren. And you see the, even though the brothers, seven of them, are part of the armies of Israel, David feels so at ease of running right in there to bring the food to them. You see the holiness, I guess you'd say, of this army. So David then hears Goliath make all these curses and all this announcement against the armies of Israel and the God of the armies of Israel. And David then asked these men, we've read that in verse 26, what'll be done for the man that faces this fellow? The man that stands up and says, "I'll face him." The people answered him, "Well, Saul says he will give him his daughter, and you know that'll be done for him." And then David gets reproved by his eldest brother, verse 28, "and heard when he spake to the men, and the eldest brother Eliab," nobody remembers Eliab, but we all remember David. No, Eliab, he's insulted. Well, actually he's embarrassed is the term, Because here comes David, the youngest of the brothers. And Eliab knows that David's been anointed to be king, but he's just a lad. He's watching the sheep. And Eliab just chews him out in verse 28. Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? Why, with whom hast thou left those," notice this, "those few sheep?" You not even have a lot of sheep. That was an insult to David. We don't know how many sheep he had. "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that you might see the battle." David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Certainly there was. David knew better the cause than Eliab. Now, Eliab to me is a picture of a lot of the church world today. The church world, for the most part, does not want preaching that gives them truth to battle Satan's lies. They want preaching that only overlooks all that's happening and puts a little Band-Aid over here and puts a little bit of ointment over here and makes you feel good and make you just continue on the way you are in a stupor. And that's what was happening here. There was a stupor of fear that filled these individuals that was in the army. It was full of fear. And it had gripped them, it had paralyzed them, brought them to the place where for 40 days they're facing this giant and they hear this same thing every day. And here's Eliab. You would think that anybody, and in our today's world, any Christian ought to say, "Wait a minute, man, we are going down the wrong road. Women are not women. Men are not men. They're declaring all of this, and we know they are. We know what God says." And you're told to, "Shh, don't say that." Why not, for God's green earth, not say that? You would think that Eliab would say, "David, old buddy, I'm for you. I'm too scared to go out there myself, but if you've got it in your heart, go for it, buddy. I want to tell you something. You're not going to get that encouragement. You may from a few, but God kills the giant, not David." Now let me call your attention to some things here. We're reading the story. Let me go on and read. No, I'm going to hold off on that reading for right now. Number one, do not enable the giant. What do you mean, preacher, enable the giant? Don't you dare enable the giant by focusing on him. Because giants always want your attention. Giants always want you to focus on them. They love that. That builds their ego. That enables their intimidation. And what Goliath was doing was going out there, and every time he'd go out, the armies of Israel would go, "Get out of here. There's the giant." It built his ego even more. He'd be so, and then he could intimidate him more. He'd just go out there and holler, "Boo!" And they'd take off running. And what do you mean, preacher, enable the giants? You enable the giants by focusing on the giant, and that your God is not big enough to take care of the giant. The giant that's in front of you. What is that giant, preacher? What could that be? It could be a sin that's just eating your lunch. It's eating you up. It could be a habit that's wearing you out. It could be some situation that you cannot get by, and you wake up thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it. It wakes you up in the middle of the night thinking about it, and there's a giant up there, and that giant, you focus on it. It paralyzes you with fear just like those did. They terrorize you. It takes your treasures, your time, takes all of that from it. Don't enable the giant by focusing on him, because it just builds the ego. They get larger, they get bigger in their estimation and in yours, and you are more intimidated than ever. Secondly, giants love to eat away at you. They love to eat up what God has given you. What do you mean, preacher? They love to eat your time, your treasures, your talents, your health. They love just to eat away at you. Take your joy. Take your happiness. Take your excitement in the church. Let's just keep that giant up there in front of them. As long as the giant's in front of them, they look at him. They've lost their joy. They've lost their thrill. They've lost their excitement. They've lost the peace they once had. Because you and I and our minds make the giant so big. Oh, his ego gets bigger. He intimidates us more and more. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 16. The Bible says, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days." 40 days. 40 days, those fellas were terrorized, lost sleep. Probably their health was deteriorating. Everything you could imagine was happening to them because it was all going through their mind, and they'd see this rascal, and for 40 days he eat their lunch, and they let him eat their lunch. And you and I do the same thing. We let the giants of fear, the giants of worry, the giants where our joy is gone, the giants where our excitement is gone, we let those giants eat our lunch. And we just allow it to happen. 40 days that rascal came out. Third thing. David, the only one I can see, was actually infuriated. Can I say that he was spiritually infuriated? The New Testament refers to it as be angry and sin not. And that's where David was. Man, he was angry. And he asked them, verse 26, look what he says. He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that they should defy the armies of the living God?" Verse 45, he says the same thing. He said this. Now, in verse 26, he's speaking to his brothers that's in the army of Israel. He's in the friendly camp. And he says, "Who is this heathen, this devil, this demon-possessed man that's over there cursing God? Who is that?" That's what he says among kin. Now, we got a lot of bravery when we're among folks that love us. But you get in verse 45, and he's out there facing old Goliath, and I love what he says to him there. He says, "David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." What he says, he sticks his finger in the nose of that big old giant. Can't you see David down here? He sticks his finger in his nose and says, "Listen, big boy, you're not fighting against these men. You're fighting against God. And I'm telling you, your days are numbered. I want you to know it." Now, you can be real brave inside the walls of the church, but outside the walls of the church, the old giant eats your lunch and he's eat you up and he's taking your joy, your happiness. He's taking the thrill away of loving Jesus and being in church and singing his songs. He's just taking all of that away. And the old giant says, "I'm going to take some health from you too. I'm going to eat that away." We know, we understand clearly what medical science has finally come up with, that a lot of our health issues come from the mental stress and the strain that we're under. We know that. Then notice something else. That was number three. Number four. The conventional methods that the armies were using was not going to defeat Goliath. It wasn't going to happen. Verse 38 and verse 39 shows us that. David volunteers to go fight the giant. Verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. He armed him with a coat of mail. David, Arnold, that's the first mention of the U.S. Postal Service right there, the coat of mail. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Deep thought there, Arnold, but anyway. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. In other words, David said, "Hey, I've not used this before. It's cumbersome to me." Now, I said Saul was approaching 7 feet tall, taller than any person in the kingdom. And you can imagine the armor, and here's David, still an adolescent, a youth, don't know his size for sure. But then David says, I've not used this before. I'm not going to do it. This is not going to work. This is not the plan here. And I want you to understand, conventional methods and means and the way we did it before is not working. Because in America, the church has always had a place of peace. We've had a place of confidence from the government. And at one time we were the conscience of America, that if the church said something was wrong, it was wrong. If the church said don't do something, they didn't do it. They wouldn't dare pass legislation. But now, everything that can be done is being passed to attack the church and the Christian and the Christian home. Everything possible. We're not only in the crosshairs of the scope of the devil, but the devil has so filled people's hearts in leadership in our country that we're in their crosshairs, the church. And that's where we are. Now, keep in mind, conventional warfare was not going to conquer Goliath. And we, my friend, cannot do business as usual. The church has been lulled to sleep, literally, for about a good 40, 50 years here in America, really about 60. And we felt like, hey, they're not going to do anything against us. They're not going to, you know, they're going to listen to us eventually. They're going to pay attention, our government, those in control. And, you know, even the devil's afraid of us. We're going to go out there and we're going to see people saved. And here's the devil. He comes right into the church and he snatches our folks away from us. He snatches our young people. He snatches our youth. And he pulls them out right there and beats them like the devil, in essence, and fills them and beats them and wears them out and takes their youth and takes their joy and takes their vitality and eats their lunch and fills them with drugs and alcohol and fills them with other giants that's just eating them up. And then throws them back in a few years. And where are they? Wasted life, wasted time, health, not what it once was. We say, what on earth? Goodness gracious. How did we let that giant in here? Conventional means is not going to get it done. We have to do, and here's what I'm going to point out to you right now in the next few minutes. How did David kill the giant? Number one, he focused on the greatness of his God, not on the size of the giant, nor the words of the giant. He focused on the greatness of his God. I mentioned Wednesday night that Satan goes about as a roaring lion. Peter labeled it that way, a roaring lion. Now, roaring lions, it all comes from their mouth. Their voice. Satan's going about with a voice that is scaring people to death, intimidating folks, intimidating the church, scaring the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about believers, true Christians. He's going about intimidating them and mouthing off to them. David didn't focus on what that giant said. He got really angry at what the rascal was saying about his God. He focused on the greatness of his God. You and I have to do that in these days. Remember I read to you out of 2 Corinthians where he says casting down imaginations, these argumentative philosophies, these argumentative reasonings that's coming at your mind that says, oh, God can't do nothing. God's, you know, you've gone too far. Church has gone too far. You've done this, you've done that. He's not listening to you anymore. The devil's a liar. Liar, liar, liar. He's a murderer and he's a liar. I want to tell you something. Your God who loves you, your God who has called you, that has saved you, who lives in you, that's the same God that David was listening to and David was looking to. And David said, I know too much about him to know that you uncircumcised Philistine that gabs around with your mouth like you're doing, got some teeth missing and all this, you ain't like anything. What do you mean? He focused on how great his God was. Number two, David focused also on the past victories that God had given. God had won for him. He tells King Saul, verse 34 through 36, David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and they took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. When he rose up against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. I slew both the lion and the bear," and I like this, "and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of" who? "The living God." The living God. He focused on the living God. Number one, true and living God, only one. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. In your prayer life, it would do you well every time you pray and in your day-to-day conversation with the Lord, when you tell Him, "Lord, I'm coming to the only true and living God." That dispels all of these other spirits, demonic spirits that's out there. You're not going to Allah or Buddha or someone. You're going to the true and living God, Jehovah God, Jesus. You're going to Him. And David said, "Hey, I'm coming to you just like I killed that bear and that lion, and the Lord delivered them." Can you see that old bear running up against David? And David says, "The Lord deliver you." Kawam. Kill the bear. The lion the same way. It's all in the name of the Lord. David let it be known it's in the name of the Lord. He focused on the past victories he'd had. Now everyone sitting here as believers, every single one of you, you've had victories in your life. You've had great victories. And what the devil wants to do, what the giants do, is to get you focused on the giant and you forget the victories. You forget what God's done. And you think, "Oh boy, I can't have happiness anymore. I can't have joy anymore. I can't have, this thrill that I once had. Not only the thrill, nor do I have the peace. It's eaten me up. It's eaten my lunch. It's wearing me out." And that's exactly what the giant wants to do. But David said, no, "I'm focusing on my living God, only true and living God. I'm focusing on the wonderful victories He's already given me." He showed me exactly what to do with the bear and the lion. And by the way, you're fighting, those who hunt, you know this. When you're out there hunting, you're there for doing what has to be done at each minute. Did David have a plan of action when he faced the bear? Well, no. He didn't know what a bear thought. How does he know what a lion thinks? All he knew was he had God, and God would show him what to do when the time comes. And God did. He killed the bear, he killed the lion, and gave him the victory. And David, focusing on God, focusing on the past victories, he said, listen, this uncircumcised Philistine is no more than them. God will deliver him. Fourth thing, killing the giants. David followed through on God's plan. He proclaimed it. In verse 45, the Bible says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, I'll take thine head from thee, I will give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, and the host of the Philistines this day, to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is" what? "A God in Israel." The earth's going to know. Everybody's going to know. David focused on his God, the greatness of his God. He focused on the victories God had given him. He's focused on God's plan of action. How did he know what to do? God told him. As I said, you're out there facing the bear and the lion. You don't know what game plan the bear has or how the lion's going to react. You're just out there, and God directs you while you're out there in the battle. Back in verse number 40, when David put off the armor and said, no conventional stuff's going to handle this. This is a This is a spiritual warfare as well as a physical battle. And in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand. He chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. He put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had. And actually, he carried his lunch in that bag. You could actually say a lunch bag. Carried a lot of stuff in it. But put him in his lunch bucket. Lunch bag. Backpack, as you'd have it today. And his sling was in his hand. He drew near to the Philistine. The Lord told him what to do. Go get you 5. I've got 5 smooth stones down there, David. You go to the brook and I'll show you which ones those are. There's a good lesson in that. Stones don't become smooth overnight. They get war and war through tempest and torment and trial. And they get war and war and war till all the rough edges are off of them and they're smooth. Sometimes God gets all the rough edges off of you so the hand of God can grab a hold of you and use you somewhere. David gets those 5 smooth stones. Oh, Goliath, you say, well, it's just in case he missed. No, he had 4 brothers. I'm going to get this rascal. And if his brothers stand up, I'll take care of them too. Now, he's focused on the greatness of God. He's focused on past victories. He's found the plan of God. We need that. Find the plan of God. You find it right here in this book. That's one reason that the giants today that's pulling people out of church and youth and all is to keep them out of this book, because if they get in the book, they'll find the plan of God and the plan of God that makes sense. Now, David, did that make sense? It did to David. Then David follows through with the plan of God. He told Goliath. Goliath had already threatened him, and David tells Goliath, listen, I'm gonna take your head off, boy. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm taking you down today. And that's the plan. Goliath didn't believe him. Let me give you one more thing here. David, of course, throws the stone. And he says, this assembly will know, in verse 47, that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. They sang that. And he will give you into our hands. And when the Philistine arose, came and drew near to David, David hasted and ran toward this Philistine. David didn't go the other way. The rest of the men ran the other way, but David runs toward him. Put his hand in his bag, took a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk to the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and he smote the Philistine, and he slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. David said, God said, cut your head off. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, Goliath's sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, slew the giant, cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. David kills the giant. But actually, it was the God in David that killed the giant. You see that? It was the God in David that killed the giant. David knew that. One thing about David is, read his Psalms, you know, he never had confidence in his flesh as much. When he did, he'd always ask forgiveness and said, Lord, it's by you and you only, God, that we do this. He knew it was God. He knew it was God. And God, through David, slew this giant. And he finished the attack. He finished it. Completed it. And when we get giants, sometimes they'll leave us for a little bit. And they say, well, they're getting wise to me. I'll slip back out of the way. No, you don't let them slip back out of the way. You don't let them live. You slay it. You get rid of it. You cut their heads off. You say, it's done. No more are you coming back to torment me. No more. This is done. Now, all of this points, folks, listen. Every bit of this story points to the victory that you have in Jesus Christ from the cross of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It all points to that. Let me give you a little bit of history to make you see this clearly. Dr. Ralph Sexton spent 50 years going back and forth to Israel and being taught and studying. And he and his dad both have tremendous knowledge of Israel. But you read on in chapter 17 that David took Goliath's head and took it to Saul in Jerusalem. Took that head there. We don't find out what happened to it since then. But through studies, it's been found out reliably that old Goliath's head was buried at a place called the place of a skull, Golgotha. Old Goliath's head. That's the reason it's called the place of a skull. Now, it's got the shape of a skull, too, to look at it from the side. Physical landscape. But Goliath's head was buried at the place of the skull. That's where it was. After David killed this giant, about 1,100 years later, the seed of David hung there on the cross on Golgotha, the place of the skull. His blood flowed down from his body right onto the ground, where old Goliath's skull is buried. And the promise from Genesis chapter 3 is fulfilled. He, Jesus, will crush the head of the old serpent. And when his blood was shed and dropped on that ground, in essence, a promise was made in Genesis 3, and promise was that was kept. And the blood of the seed of David crushed the head, and the seed of the woman crushed the head of the old serpent, defeated Satan. Goliath, such a satanic-filled individual, such a picture of Satan attacking the armies of Israel, the only true and living God. And now the Lord Jesus has shed his blood, and that wasn't all. Near unto the place where he was crucified was a garden. And in the garden, a tomb, where never a man yet laid. And there they buried Jesus. But 3 days later, he arose alive forever. And you have the victory over your giant. I have the victory over my giants, every one of them. Through the blood of the cross, through the work of Jesus, through the resurrection power, you do not allow these giants to continue. And once you have claimed the blood of Christ and pled the power of the blood of Christ, you've laid aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Put on the whole armor of God and say, Lord, hallelujah. This giant's not going to intimidate me anymore. This giant's not going to take my joy. This giant of whatever it may be. Already, I don't have to tell you what giants are. Already, it's going through your mind. Some giants that's in your mind, that's in your heart, that might be in your home. No, 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 no. We have the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. I feel like the battle against our folks, our kids, and you. I told you what happened to me Friday morning. I wouldn't even have this message. I walked through this building. After the Lord said, I'm slaying giants, I'm killing giants. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Our people are being attacked by giants. I face them. And you have the victory. I've got it in Jesus. Hallelujah. And so do you. We're going to close in prayer this morning. Here's what I want us to do. I don't think we'll have any songs, girls. David, I feel like that we're at a place, we're at a time, the Lord wants to deliver some giants out of your life. He wants to kill them. He's going to deliver you from the giant. He wants to slay the giant. And I love that David killed him. There wasn't no going back to release, you know, let's just put him down a little while and pick him back up. No, he's over. And this morning, If you want to come and join me here in the altar, please do so. If you want to use your pew, you can do that, but it may help you to come. It could be, let's stand to our feet. Could be that giants are there. Not only it's with you, but it's with some in your family. It's some loved ones. It's some friends. As I said, I walked across this whole building, up and down these aisles where you sit, and I was praying. I said, "Oh God, I know this one's going through this. I know this one's going through this. And I pray you'll slay that giant. You'll slay that giant." So, let's pray this morning. We're going to, number one, we're going to claim the victory of the cross of the Lord Jesus. We're going to claim that victory. That is ours. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the plan. The plan is that in Christ Jesus we are more than conquerors. In Christ Jesus He always causes me to triumph. If it's a giant of fear, if it's a giant of worry, if it's a giant of some actual thing that's happening in your life right now, unexpected, just overwhelming. And giants tend to do that. And they keep coming back. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we come together, Lord, as a church family. And here we are, Father. We're bowed in your presence, both here in the altar and here, Father, in the auditorium. We come to you, dearest Lord Jesus. We come to the only true and living God, as David said, who is our God. He lives in us and He rules and lives and reigns in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray this morning, Father, for every person that's here. Lord, you wouldn't have given me this message with such a fervency in my soul on Friday and then developed it to me even just hours ago for me to understand that this is definite a place where our church families are. But Father, as David, we have God with us. We have God in us. And in the name of Christ Jesus, through the blood of Christ Jesus, through the resurrection power of Jesus, through His ascended position in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me, we right now declare and cast down and break down every giant and stronghold that Satan may be trying to build in our lives. We cast down right now and ask you in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Christ, rebuke every giant that is in front of us. Slay them, Lord. We in Jesus' name, ask it to be done. We have the authority. You have not given us the spirit of fear, but power, authority, and love, and a sound mind, a mind that understands our position and who we are and who you are, a mind that is fully informed. Lord, you have given us that authority. So with that authority, in the name of Jesus, His resurrection power, His blood, we claim right now you are casting down the giants. You're knocking them down. You're killing them. You're destroying those giants that Satan has put up in our lives. And bind them and rebuke them right now in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Christ. And cast away from our church families and their families, Father. You know where all the giants are. And not only do you know where they are, as David well knew, you would slay the giant. And Father, we, if anybody should have even more faith than David, it should be us on this side of the cross, who's been filled with the Holy Ghost, who's been washed from our sins and born again. We praise your holy name, glorious, wonderful, great name. Father, right now, deliver your people and do it in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Christ, through His resurrection power and all the ascension that holds for us the fact that our Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, do it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for God delivering us. Hallelujah. We'll be back at 5 o'clock. We'll have choir practice at 4. As far as we know right now, if that changes, we'll let you know. But we're practicing at 4. We'll be back at 5. God bless you for the service at 5, all right? Thank you.